There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour. Into the 9 o'clock hour we go.
Talk about the elephant in the room.
No.
general nonpartisan election stress. It's you and I were talking during the break of like, okay, I try to create barriers in my life and where I kind of, you know, I make my decisions on how I'm going to vote and everything, but I try to remove it from social media as much as possible.
Yeah.
And yet, in this last week, despite all of my muting of anything political at all on my timeline and everything, it creeps in. Right. And I swear this is 100% nonpartisan. It's just a constant deluge of all this stuff that I don't like it. I feel like cumulatively, you and I are a little bit hazy this morning, and it's not because of, I don't think it has anything to, it's not like because of specific results or anything. It's just, it's so much.
Yes.
I've tried to create barriers from my, from the rest of my life, from when I make my political decisions, and it just all fell to pot over this last week.
The biggest irony, and then we'll move on to the Texans, is that the feed of which you speak, for me, it's on Twitter or X.
Yeah.
And there are two feeds. One is who you're following. The other one is titled For You. I actually spend more time on the For You than I do the following, because I'm always curious what they're going to dish me on there. It's like a potluck supper on there. What I mean? Like, oh, what am I going to get? And for the last 2 days, I'm like, this is for me? Like, none of this should be for me. What are you talking about?
Didn't I not specifically, I bragged about a month or so ago that I went through and basically, You can hit a button that says not interested in posts like this.
Yeah.
So anyway, and I liked it because even at first, some of the people that I follow for sports but who are pretty vocal politically, it kind of filtered out. I wasn't seeing their political posts, which was nice. I was able to keep my own little sports cocoon. And that all fell by the wayside this last week. It was intense, man.
Yeah, it was. It was. And it still is, even though the election's over. It's still... No, Yes, it is.
Wait a minute.
I know.
No.
I know.
The election's over. Nobody's going to talk about it anymore.
Everybody's just going to talk about the baseball offseason now.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Here was Nick Caserio yesterday on Texans All Access. I believe this interview runs tonight. It's on YouTube, and Nick sits down with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer every week and chats with them. And the trade deadline, obviously a topic. Here's Nick Caserio's view on the trade deadline. Let's see if his view on it matches the activity level.
Yeah, not to be too contrite, but I mean, it's usually much ado about nothing. So essentially, a lot of players that get moved, A, are on a kind of expiring type contracts. B, hasn't worked out with their team. Most of it is kind of late round picks, some flips, essentially. You saw a few trades there, but a compensation maybe was a little bit bigger than what it was. But you're kind of looking at your team. If there's an opportunity to add a player that you have a specific defined role for, great. If not, it's just, you know, you're not going to do something just to create a bunch of busy work. So it's on the calendar. It's there for teams. I mean, I think half the league voted to move the deadline a week. Another half voted to leave it where it is. So whenever it is, we'll prepare accordingly. We always contact teams throughout the course of the fall, look for opportunities. So once you kind of get through the trade, the only thing that's different for the trade deadline is after Tuesday, everybody has to go through the waiver wire, even including the vested players. So it's not as simple as you terminate a player, and if you want to flip into the practice squad, there's a 24-hour period where they have to go through. So some of it is just roster mechanics and roster logistics. But in the end, it's probably much ado about nothing. And it's everybody just has to do what they think is best for their football team and just try to make good decisions.
Okay, the do something crowd is not going to like that answer at all.
Right.
Minimizing the trade deadline, yeah.
Yeah, and this is one of the hard parts of just, as a fan, you know, you want stuff now. I want stuff now. I think there are a lot of guards out there. Some of the guys who aren't even on teams right now that would be probably a better solution than Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
And the part, like, so this is where I am. Okay. If you are clamoring for a wide receiver, my thought is, man, we've already seen this offense with three top-notch wide receivers, and they didn't do squat with it in terms of a total offensive effort. Nico Collins was brilliant, don't get me wrong, but they didn't do squat with it in terms of being a genuinely good offense. They had much better receivers than they had up in Kansas City and in the first half of the season, and yet there they were right there in lockstep with Kansas. Kansas City has been disappointing offensively.
Yep.
So, okay, what's a wide receiver do for the Texans right now? I don't know if they would be wasted money until they fix some of the other issues.
Sure.
Defensive back. Okuda coming back, giving them some versatility in the defensive backfield makes me feel better. I still get nervous about Jalen Petrie and man coverage in the slot. We saw that come up big time against Devontae Adams last week. But it's still a good defense. Mm-hmm. Still a very good defense in a lot of respects.
Yep.
It's just, it's that left guard position. It feels like the most minimal of moves, even if it's one that didn't work out, would have made me feel like, okay, they get it. They understand that the Kenyon Green experiment was a fiasco and that Kenyon Green was afforded opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I have no reason to believe it was for anything other than that he's a first round pick and you did nothing about it. And you let fate make your decision for you by him getting injured, which, by the way, happened because he got beat so badly in a pass protection.
Right.
Like, do they understand the perfect irony and just how perfectly it fits that Kenyon Green, in a game where you wouldn't bench him even as Quinnen Williams was destroying him, Kenyon Green was injured on a play because he could not pass block Quinnen Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And that forced your hand.
Yep.
Like, that's a sign from the universe and the football gods that, all right, we got to do something about left guard.
Yeah.
But they feel like they're just kind of like, oh, well, we'll see. Hey, we didn't like Jarrett Patterson enough to give him a chance before. But once he comes back from a brain injury, he'll be just fine.
Yeah. It would be fun to know, like, what conversations took place with teams about offensive line here at the trade deadline. Like, how close were they? Did they think it was a big enough need to engage teams on it? You know, like,
you've got how many teams are 2-win teams right now? Is it 8?
A ton.
They're breaking a modern record for how many 2-win teams there are this late in the season.
Yeah, there's like 10 or 12 teams that I think you could say were sellers going into the last couple of days, you know, based on their record and where they are in
some of those teams screwed us over by having promising wins last year or by having the Dolphins aren't even without a victory, but they're a 2-win team that just got their quarterback back.
Yeah.
The Ravens go off and beat the Browns beat the damn Ravens with a new quarterback.
The Jets beat the Texans. The Texans did it to themselves.
All these teams that should textbook sellers have reasons to just grasp it at some straw of optimism.
Yeah, the offensive line situation, like the trade deadline, as you pointed out multiple times today, the left guard position and the issues on the offensive line, the trade deadline is just one element as to how we got here with this whole thing. Like, that thing was screwed up before the season started, as it turns out, and it's been continually screwed up, and it's getting the quarterback injured. Like, it's getting not injured yet, but it's getting the quarterback banged up, and it's certainly affecting C.J. Stroud and how he handles the pocket. So, if we're talking about the trade deadline here, I'm angry about where this offensive line is, and I'll get to the trade deadline before we get to the three other reasons I'm angry about it. As far as, like, the part where I look back, Seth, or the part where I look ahead and I ask myself, okay, at the end of the season, what could happen where I look back and say, man, shoulda, woulda, coulda at the trade deadline? To me, it's depth at some of the key positions on either side of the ball. Depth in the secondary. Getting Okuda back may help. To me, the two big ones are wide receiver and running back. And if something happens to Joe Mixon, Tank Dell, or Nico Collins, and this is who you're running with into the postseason, I think there it is fair to look back and say, man, look at what Khalil Herbert went for to the Bengals. Look what these all these wide receivers like DeAndre Hopkins and Mike Williams and Amari Cooper and Deontay Johnson all going for these day three pittances. You know, Cooper went for a day two pick, but all the other guys are fifth round pick, sixth round pick swap, that kind of thing. You know, swapping a fifth for a sixth, and here's Deontay Johnson. I understand that there's luggage that comes with any of these guys, probably. You know, but the fact of the matter is that's the market for that level of receiver. And how engaged were they with the Patriots over KJ Osborne or Kendrick Bourne, who are both better than Xavier Hutchinson? You know, how engaged were they with the Raiders on Jacoby Myers, who's better than Xavier Hutchinson, you know, who's better than John Mechie.
Noah Brown has gotten about the same number of targets as Xavier Hutchinson this year.
Yeah.
And would Noah Brown, if he were still on this roster, would he be contributing in a way this year, like he did last year?
That's a different, you know, like that's a different would have. Yeah, that's a different. Yeah. Should you have cut that guy in training camp? You know,
And there, I understand you go with youth and upside and all of that. It's just these are all the things that are clear and present in our brains right now because they could have gone different ways. Like in and of themselves, none of them are, you know, backbreaking moves. But this team is following the narrative that we are so often cautioned against, or we say ourselves that, man, winning the offseason is just not the same in the NFL as it is in other sports.
No. Nope.
There's too many variables. The rosters are too large. It's too much of a team sport to think that going out and winning the offseason is going to get it done for you. And right now, this team is very much underperforming based on the standard of, like, just look at the damn depth chart. Just look at the money you're paying these guys. It's just, it should be a better offense than they are right now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nicholas texts in, 5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Says, I would have kept Cam Akers. Yeah, I mean, that's not looking good right now either.
The Vikings are another team that made traded for Cam Robinson to play offensive line. They traded for Cam Akers. And that goes back to just, again, you know, these things are in training camp where I felt like, you know, I try to have a certain humility about things where, like, a lot of times when I don't understand why a team is doing something, it's because they know more than I do, you know, or they know more than anybody else does. And their undying and steadfast commitment to Dameon Pierce was just really curious to me. It was really, really curious to me, not just based on his performance last year, but on his injury history, including his rookie year where he ended the year on IR. And yet here we are again with Dameon Pierce injured yet again. And you're trying to figure out what you have in J.J. Taylor potentially, or just how much of a three down back can a Ogunbowale be?
Yeah,
I don't get some of these decisions, and so the undying faith in Dameon Pierce, the undying faith in Kenyon Green, That's too much classically of, I think, trusting your own evaluation more so than what you see. It's Jose Abreu all over again.
Well, Petrie in the slot. You know, that's another, yeah. You know, like, I'm
Petrie
not saying
when he's in man coverage, right? Like, and I love the way they've used Petrie, but there are some glaring weaknesses when you have to rely on him being in man coverage versus good wide receivers. It's just not who he is.
Yeah.
And yet there they are relying on him in basically what amounts to a cover zero situation because he didn't have genuine safety help over the top.
Yep.
That's what they did, and it blew up in their face versus a good quarterback.
It did. I don't,
or at least a sometimes good quarterback.
Yeah. Right. Well, right. A bad quarterback this season.
A bad
up to that
quarterback.
Point, you know, talking about Aaron Rodgers.
It felt too much like the last really good game that Eli Manning ever had in the NFL was against the Houston Texans when they just let Eli Manning carve them up over the middle.
Yep.
And like that was the last dying gasp of Eli Manning. That last week, we might at the end of the season look back and say, oh, that was the last dying gasp of Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe. Now, just a little history lesson, Seth. You know, that was week three of the 2018 season when the Texans started 0-3. You know what happened after that? 9-game winning streak.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So maybe the Texans are about to go on a 9-game winning streak.
I would
prefer
a bunch of 1-point wins.
There's a lot of that going on. Yeah, overtime, pick sixes off of Nathan Peterman by Jonathan Joseph. A lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the thing: there's only 8 games left in the season, so I would prefer that it be an 11 or 12 game winning streak. You know, because if it's a 9-game winning streak, it means they're getting knocked out in the divisional round again.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean they can't. They could lose a game. Oh, I got you.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There's only 8 games left in the regular season.
Hey, guys, we've had one of the most aggressive off seasons we've ever seen out of the Texans. You've got more positions that you felt awesome about heading into the season than ever before.
Yeah.
Listen, man, we're not gonna be asking for anybody to get fired if you don't win the Super Bowl. But could we win a divisional playoff game for the first time in our history?
No, dude,
if
they made it to the AFC title game and especially showed up in the AFC, because they probably have to go on the road to do that, and showed up and kind of stood in and traded blows in an AFC title game, dude, I would sign up for that right now.
Look, being an expansion team comes with a lot of ever since they changed the rules after the Jaguars and the Panthers just got way too much handed to them, and they were both in that championship game their second year in it's for any new expansion team after that, it was not nearly the same, and you go through a lot of headaches and heartache along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we're long past that territory, obviously. Nobody's making an excuse as an expansion team, but just by way of, okay, why does it feel so weird, even though it's an expansion team, that they haven't been to a conference championship game? Because since you've been in the league, every other team in the division has been to a conference championship game. Since the Texans were created in 2002, the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Colts have all been to AFC championship games.
They've all been to AFC championship games in the last 10 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like the Titans went to one in 2019, the Jags went to one in 2017.
The Jags really should have gone to a Super Bowl. They got hosed in that game.
Yep, they absolutely should have. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you here in the 9 o'clock hour on a Wednesday. If you want to text in, 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. Dana Brown, we talked plenty about the Texans, their GM, their head coach, and all the moves that did or didn't get made. The Astros got moves they need to make. The biggest one is Alex Bregman. What are the odds they're keeping Alex Bregman? And Dana Brown had some really nice things to say, almost out of left field, or center field even, about a certain player. We'll let you hear that from the owners' meetings. That's coming up next.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.